Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 30, Episode 4 of
Der Daily Zeitgeist
for May 10th, 2018. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. O'Brien. O'Brien. The Zeit stuff. And I am joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Okay. We do the show on a Monday all the way through Friday. This sweet Pazza Daily, that's what O'Brien say. Looking like Zeit Gang, Zeit Gang, Zeit Gang, Zeit Gang, Zeit Gang, Zeit Gang, yeah. Sorry for that execution. I'm just doing everything live and uncut, and I'm my own DJ, my own hype man, my own sound person, my own front of house. But thank you to Alicia Perez. Wow. You hit me with that Cardi, that money bag. And hopefully we will be getting money back soon. Also, shout out to Greg, who came through to the Zeit Cave, a fan of the show, had to lace him with some merch.
Yeah. And shout out to the Australian listener who asked me to do some Australian song I had never heard, but it had a bunch of O's in it, and that's why I thought of that one that I did.
What was the song that you never heard of?
It was like some, I'll do it on a future one. I just have to like listen
rehearse
to it.
Rehearse it a bit.
Yeah, rehearse it. But we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by one of the greats. He is a hilarious performer, part of the improv troupe White Women, and just one of the funniest dudes out there, Mr. Iffy Wadiway.
Oh, hey, what's up?
What's up, man?
Iffy, can't you see? Ooh. Sometimes your words just hypnotize me. Ooh. So I gotta touch your fleshy waist.
Okay.
This is why I'm broke and you're so played.
Oh, yeah. So you're broke still, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, well, at least you're honest, you know.
Yeah, that came from...
It's not like we're pulling up. Okay,
yeah,
what you got?
Andre Garve.
Okay.
Yeah, he came through. He came through on the Twitch stream, was like, yo, I got that heat. And I was like, all right, DM it to me because I'm not going to be able to pull this Twitch stream back up.
If you also host a podcast, isn't that right?
Yeah, Nerdificent.
I've heard
drops
that. That shit
Tuesday.
Is good.
We talking nerdy.
What is this week's episode about?
Funny enough, this week's episode was about Twitch. Had my buddy Zach Eubank on, who we've been doing Twitch stuff together for years. Lots of good stuff. Talking about the ins and outs of Twitch and that streamer life.
Okay.
Stream life. With a 3 instead of an E.
Ooh, Ray Streamer.
Yeah.
Ray Streamer.
Ray Streamer.
What is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are?
I've been looking up oils. If you've been following me on any social media, because I posted it across all three, the trifecta, Twitter, Instagram, and my Facebook. Got my hair twisted up finally.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to Dread City. We're going there.
Next stop, Dread City?
Yeah, next stop, Dread City. So I got it twisted up. Now I have to switch over my hair care products.
Okay.
Especially because I've been living in Koreatown and I haven't found like a beauty supply, which some of you may not know, but if you depend on Target or Walgreens for your hair care products as a black person, it's rough.
Yeah.
You know, they have the black section. They'll have like, you know.
Or unless it's in that part of the city.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They'll have a deck there. But like, you know, I thought Koreatown, you know, I grew up in LA and Koreatown has always been pretty much predominantly POC. But I think because it's like also predominantly Korean, you know, they don't have that as many.
Right.
So, but I finally found a lady down the street.
She was able to get
a new brush because I've had the same double-sided wave brush for a minute, and I've needed a new one, so I got fresh boar bristles against
there
my head. And so I was standing. It was funny because it's weird being, black in America right now, because I was standing in that section for a minute, and I wondered if she wondered what I was doing, because most people just – on a regular basis know what they want from a beauty supply store. Either you're coming
right,
you know, right, you're coming
right.
Like, getting your wave
big
cream.
Jack the, dude looking yeah. there.
Because I wasn't sure if I wanted to go with the classic, which is Murray's beeswax, and they have the regular like yellow beeswax, or they have African black beeswax. Or if I wanted to try something new, and I just went with this product solely because it was like a black couple and they both had dreads, and it's called Twisted Life or something like that. Like, just totally, I was like, all right, let's try it out.
Now, yeah. The dreads, when did you decide to do this? Does this have anything to do with Killmonger?
It 100% is.
Okay,
this is 100% the culmination of everything I've been saying I was going to do since we last talked about it.
Yeah, because you were like, no, this is my new style icon. This is who I am.
Yeah.
And yeah, I remember right after Black Panther, you came in shirtless with like a nice fashion overcoat on. I was like, oh yeah. This man takes no half measures.
Oh yeah, no. That it is 100% me following.
And you're gonna do you think you're trying to pull the same?
Yeah. Well, see, that's the thing is, so when she was twisting it, she asked, she was like, oh, do you want it put to the side? And I was like, yeah, but I didn't realize it'd be this skinny. So like, I wanted the Killmonger right now. I'm rocking the Travis Scott.
Yeah,
right.
But we're gonna work our way up.
It looks like it's whatever Travis Scott's existing head is, but then his body was blown up to your side. So relative to your size, they look smaller now.
You know, I get goosebumps every time.
So have you had dreads before?
I started and I got to this twisty stage, but see, I started with more hair this time. Last time, it looks real weird when it's like this thin and twisty and smaller.
Right.
And I just couldn't, like, everyone who has dreads will tell you, it's like you got the ugly phase that you got to go through, mm-hmm. and then your hair starts locking up and they're thicker and it looks cooler.
Right.
And I could not make it through. I just didn't have the patience. Also, my like second cousin was twisting it and I just wasn't able, like, because like even right now my hair grows so fast, so it's kind of already getting fizzy, and I wasn't able to get to her quick enough, and I just got tired of trying to track her down because of my hair growth,
mm-hmm.
and I just bailed. But this time I'm going all the way, baby.
Nice. There you go.
Yeah.
Don't come back till you get that Killmonger.
I've seen like Robert Covington from the Sixers, RIP Sixers season.
I didn't think you would bring that up.
he did the same thing. He was like going with it. It was like five straight games. He had the tiny little twist.
Yeah.
They didn't even look like they weren't even as big as yours are right now. Yeah. And then he just bailed on it. But
was it during the series too?
Yeah, it was during during the season. Like,
okay.
About
we know what happened. We know what happened. If he would have followed through. The strength of Ja would have helped him.
The Lion of Zion would have come through.
It was definitely one of those sports things. The Sixers collapse was one of those sports things that it was just like some ineffable thing where they just like didn't have it. It wasn't like clear, but like the Celtics just were making all their shots and the Sixers just, for whatever reason, I think it was strength of job.
I do feel like Simmons had a real strong showing this. He's like, what a great opening season.
Yeah.
He just fell apart at the end.
Yeah.
Definitely
I mean, he can't carry the team. He's a rookie. He can't carry the team on his back.
Yeah. Come on, Australia.
Like, unlike, I was promised by a certain man who goes by the name of LeVar Ball that Lonzo was going to take the Lakers to the playoffs. And I tweeted at him. I was like, yo, Lakers make it to the playoffs. I'm going to buy some of your ZO 3s.
Right.
Uh-huh.
If you notice me right now, I'm not wearing ZO 3s.
That was a good promise to make, because you wouldn't have to buy those nasty fucking shoes. I'd be like, yeah, man, if you're there, I'll buy three pairs. Fuck no, I'm not buying those fucking shoes.
Iffy, what's something that's overrated?
Oh, man. I think what's overrated is just trying to figure out art. I feel like in the past year, we've been gotten a lot of art that has allowed us to do what we want with it. A lot of it from Donald Glover, whether it be the Teddy Perkins episode and even This Is America. And I feel like everyone tries to like over dissect it. And I read this dope post on Very Smart Brothers, which was more about how people were trying to point out that he has a white wife. But he was saying how like we as creators always have to deal with the bullshit that people project onto our art and assume that we're saying when it really comes from them. And I think that's very true. Like I've been trying to stay out of like just dumb fights, mm-hmm. but like one guy did like was his take on the video was like, oh, he's not really saying anything. And to me, it's just him killing a bunch of black people. And I was like, if that's what you're taking from the video, you're not even giving it a chance. Like you want to not like it.
Right.
You're choosing to ignore the metaphor and really trying to look at it, because the way I was looking at it is the fact that everyone who contributed to the song in a big way, which was the choir and the guy at the beginning, you thought he was going to be a big part. they were murdered and they moved on. And I take that as a metaphor for how black art and black culture is very celebrated. And then the moments, you know, someone dies in the black community, no one cares. Like, yeah. like the same people who will try and use the same like slang that we come up with, who are trying to whip and nay-nay, those same people ignore when a black person is killed by the police. They live their lives. And it just kind of shows how America treats black people as disposable while also trying to really absorb our culture. And then I think the importance of it being him doing it and then at the very end being chased is a message to people like Sheriff Clark and Kanye West, where it's like, you can contribute to the, you know, basically decimation of black lives, but at the end they're still going to come for you.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
you're
yeah.
not safe.
Right.
You being
right.
a part of it does not make you
yeah,
safe.
Yeah, you can chuck and jive all you want, but yeah.
And that might not be what he's saying, but that's the beauty of art, is what you get what you get out of it.
Yeah,
right.
But a lot of people will take their negative stuff that they're dealing with and put it on art and say that they're doing that. And it's like,
well, yeah, I mean, it's one thing if you're going to critique the art like that, or, you know, if some person that is the thing that there, it, the symbolism in that video is so dense that it can go so many places.
Oh, yeah.
And in general, just art as a medium, like, you know, just as a form of self-expression, it does allow people, because of its ambiguity, to attach messages to it that for whatever reason is where they're coming from.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you're trying to critique the video, but you're just sort of cutting and pasting your yeah. own weird worldview on it,
right.
that's not very critical.
Yeah.
But someone sent me a tweet on Twitter, I forget who it was, but to a link to a HuffPost interview with an expert in like sort of Jim Crow iconography and mm-hmm. things like that, and just trying to really parse through everything. And even he was saying, like, look, that's the thing with symbolism. Like, we can't say what he is intending unless he is telling us what his intent was. Otherwise, yeah. we are just going to, you know, we can always attach whatever we want to, but that's the beauty of it, because some person can look at the Jim Crow thing and be like, okay, that was him sort of talking about the duality of how white performers in blackface would perform as Jim Crow, how black people would perform as Jim Crow, and that can be the duality of sort of appropriating black culture, or you can look at it one way or the other, whatever, whatever. But yeah, that is sort of the beauty of all of it, but also it can be a frustrating part when someone just tries to go, well, I think it's really just about you know, these black people killing each other.
Yeah, I feel like think pieces that are reductive should be outlawed, because they're not helping anyone. They're just coming from a place of like hatred. But things like the reaction to the This Is America video, a lot of the analysis where, you know, they're showing you all of the symbolism that you didn't notice was there. I think this happened with the last episode of Sopranos, the movie Room 237, where they have like, you know, 20-minute long analyses of The Shining with mm-hmm. different interpretations, all of which are completely convincing. Those are, I think, what the internet was built for.
Oh,
yes. I love that 100%. Shit. Like, that shit is great, but maybe give it some time, maybe a couple watches before. If you're gonna write something, like, try to like give the creator the benefit of the doubt, because I guarantee you they put more thought into it than you're putting into it watching it once and then just
Pond
being
first
like
viewing.
Yeah. Iffy, what is something that is underrated?
You know, I think I'm gonna keep it simple this time. I'm gonna say comic books. I got back into reading comic books.
Physical books?
Yeah, the physical books. I finally picked up the Ta-Nehisi Coates Black Panther run.
Mm-hmm.
It was really good. I noped out of Capes, which is comic nerd slang for comic books about, you know, superheroes. And I kind of came back in, and it seems like they're trying to do some fun stuff, especially like getting some interesting writers like Ta-Nehisi Coates, Roxane Gay. So, and I actually, you know, sat down instead of watching TV. And read some comics. Yeah. So that's why I still haven't seen Thor Ragnarok, everyone. People have been asking. I'm going to get it.
Wait, how could... Oh, you mean just because you've been reading books.
You've been reading comic books.
Yeah.
Are you waiting to read a comic book before you watch that? Like,
It just keeps getting pushed back. I've been busy.
Oh, because you've just been... Yeah. For sure. I need to see it, too.
Yeah. Prepare to have...
Soup Purdue... Anna Hosnier just gave me the craziest side eye because I said I hadn't seen Thor.
Yeah.
Wow.
Don't worry. Prepare for people to be tweeting and asking when you've seen it, because ever since I announced that a few podcasts.
Right. Well, they don't expect that from me. They'll be like, what you mean you didn't get high today or something like that? That would be a shock, I think, to people.
Iffy, what's a myth? What's something people think is true you know to be false?
Oh, man. I'm going to just do it just because it's right now on brand. This is my new brand, my new way of life. White people can't get dreads, y'all. White people don't get dreads. You physically cannot get dreads. Someone pointed this out in a, you guessed it, Tumblr post, and really went into the science of it where it's like, oh, no, that's true. The reason black people's hair lock up is because our hair is just so naturally curly.
Right.
So that's why, like, we twist it, and then it's going to naturally lock up. When you get the white dreads, basically your hair is just getting tangled and matted until it kind of gets
looks
that.
Like a dread.
You look a dread. But that also raised my curiousness, which I'm probably going to Google later. So next time you see me, that'll be my Google searches. I wonder if, like, you know, Jewish, like white people, like with curly hair, will get it. But based on what I heard,
if Art Garfunkel,
can if you're because
imagine
really,
him right now with dreads. Like the balding dress.
Well, remember that guy on the court side of Golden State that everybody was zooming in on?
No.
I'm not even going to describe it. I want you to look up guy on the court side of Golden State. I saw Ben Schwartz zoom in on him, and I almost woke up my daughter because she was asleep next to me, and I just shotgun laughed so hard. Let me know if you get trouble. Find it, because I'll just look it up for you right now.
Whoa!
Oh, is that Adam Duritz?
Just the thickest dreads, which...
Wow. Like, what a head of hair.
Yeah, and he's happy. He's living his best life.
Oh, yeah, that's his Adam Duritz.
Oh, that's Adam Duritz?
Legit Adam Duritz, baby.
Well, you know, gray is my favorite color.
Wow.
I mean, look at him. Yeah, those dreads are... They're almost jokey. Because they're like Bob Terwilliger, like, you know, Sideshow Bob from The Simpsons.
No,
like, almost how his hair, how it would look like in the real life version.
Yeah, he looks...
But yeah, I think... I haven't thought of counting crows in so long.
Yeah.
But, like, if you even look at his dreads, how they almost look slick down.
Yeah.
Versus, like, when black people have dreads, they look like thick. You can see that they're almost like... One thick solid curl,
right?
Yeah.
So
have some dreadlock pride.
So those aren't dreads.
I don't think this is a controversial take, but I think it is good to be an official position of the Daily Zeitgeist that white people should not have dreads. I'm with you on that.
And it's tough too, because I know some white people with dreads. Like, one of my best friends, I know people who've had dreads, and they're not the kind of people who are really like sort of the traditional appropriators of culture.
Oh, yeah.
They're sort of people who are like so about, like, I've met even Japanese people who are so down with that Rasta life that they just go down there and they get it. And part of me is like, yo, y'all are fucking up.
Yeah.
And then part of me is like, I've also seen people like that who are like in the streets for like black people too.
I know.
And it's like hard to be like, damn, you're a straight up ally. You're not about the bullshit either, because you'll see like Black Lives Matter marches and then you'll see the white dude or white person with dreadlocks and you go, why do I do?
I feel like there is like a general like consensus among like black activists where they're like, all right, we'll just eye roll. At least he's here.
Right. It's tolerated.
But come on, guys. If that is you, like, there's plenty of great haircuts that don't, you know, offend people.
I mean, you guys already talked about it, but I just want to touch on my favorite take about, like, the Met Gala, where all the right-wingers tried to be like, my religion isn't your costume. Like, they really thought they had the aha moment.
Right.
It, just ignoring the fact that, one, like... Catholicism is more linked to Latinos than it is white people in general. First off and foremost, I know some Irish people going to hop into my TL.
Right,
real
mad. But Irish Catholics weren't the ones being like, my culture.
And it's like, secondly, that just showed like that they had just no idea of what culture is, and almost like proven you don't have a culture because there are probably some times you could do it. Like, you could have waited till Oktoberfest came hard with those takes.
right.
Like, there are times where you can actually like actually make that
my
like,
Lederhosen is not your cultural.
Yeah. Right. Like, you could have. There are times where you could have taken that take, and we'd be like, yeah, all right. But you just had to jump the gun. Like, you just have no understanding of what culture is.
Right, and also the Catholic Church is not necessarily on the MAGA side in the culture war.
Like,
the Catholic Church is at the very least, a mixture. And, you know.
Yeah, because this is the like Tropo, we said in a
past
too, right?
Yeah, the Tropo. Yeah. And like we said in a past episode, the Catholic Church, you know, loaned the people from the Met Gala, like a lot of the stuff that they were wearing. Rihanna was wearing a Pope hat that was on loan from one of the
Vatican
bishops.
Or something?
I can't wait till it gets back to the Vatican. It was like, I want to wear. I want to wear the Rihanna hat. I want to wear it.
<They're>
like,
the Rihanna.
Let me sniff it.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, right.
Fenty.
All right. We are trying to take a sample of the global shared consciousness, what people are thinking and talking about right now, and we are going to do that right after this break. And we're back, and this is what I love about my co-host, Miles Gray, is he has had experiences with just the strangest subcultures. He was telling us about the Krav Maga scene, like going to classes where, you know, the instructors are just telling you.
Dude, Krav Maga, okay, if we were going to talk about this, Krav Maga is the like the self-defense system developed by the IDF, the Israeli Defense Force. And when I was in high school, I did it for like 2 years or like just getting out of high school. And every class, like there was this one instructor who, this guy Sam, he was like an ex like IDF dude. Every situation, you know, most people go there because it's a very effective self-defense program. But every scenario where he would teach us a move was actually like an assault. Like you were assaulting someone. It was
right,
never that.
It wasn't self-defense.
So he's like, it was never like, ladies, let's say you're walking back from the parking lot. Someone grabs you in the darkness. It was always like, guys, you know, maybe you're at the bar and this guy's talking shit to your girlfriend or something. So you're going to come up to him. Yeah. You're going to put your hand in his face. Then boom, you follow up with the right straight.
Right.
And like, it was always like just shit.
You're
that he was solving
punch.
Like club yeah. beef with like these, this very aggressive form of martial arts and yeah. be like, yeah, maybe the bouncer is telling you something you don't like. Like, hey, sir, you're too drunk and you need to leave. And honestly, Cindy, you know, we know her. She's the bartender. She says you broke up 3 weeks ago and you shouldn't right. be here because you have a restraining order. Maybe you should let go. And then you say, what the fuck, bro? You're going to punch him in the throat. And then clearly there's right. two bouncers. They're going to grab. So it was, yes.
Yeah. So from that to, and then in during the break, Miles was talking about how people who were on Molly back in the day would put Vicks Vapor Rub under their eyes.
Yeah, so like
that
eye black.
So that when they were peeking, their like
just
eyes
turn
would
it
get
up,
like
man.
That fiery sensation.
Just turn that turn your face up,
all,
guys.
All that dark shit in Miles' past is
I got a lot in my wheelhouse.
Gift, his gift to us. All right, guys, let's get into the stories. I said that in a way that was like, we're about to talk about good news. And we're not. There is some Benghazi. From the world of Chris Brown
yeah.
and co. There's just a horrifying
really story.
Story from somebody who is accusing he and his friend Young Lo of
all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I mean, yeah, the. You can read all about it, but essentially this lawsuit that is being brought, this victim alleges that she was raped in Chris Brown's home by someone in his entourage, and Chris was also involved in some weird stuff. Story is very dark, and I'm sure will evolve. But again, you know, I mean, Chris Brown, I'm surprised he's still out here. So.
I mean, I'm sure now with Chris Brown and his track record, maybe this will happen. No men will come to his defense. I mean, what you know, at this will be the time that
right.
no males will find a way to try and defend this person.
Yeah, I'm
right.
Yeah.
Question
Maybe this
mark.
Is how we identify like the Darth Vader of toxic masculinity is the like one guy who's like, guys, I don't know. I mean, when you think about it, and
right.
comes to his defense.
Yeah, if someone, I mean, yeah, come yeah. with that take.
Moving on, if you hate your life enough to want to know what Donald Trump's dick looks like, there's an interview in this week's Is Penthouse a weekly
month?
This month's Penthouse?
There's no
with,
way up.
Stormy Daniels.
A nudie magazine is printing weekly. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. And we'll link off to it in the.
Yeah,
in
again,
the
you have to hate notes, your life, though.
But
notes.
Yeah, it's they don't okay. they ask about it. She doesn't even really like give them a good answer other than to say that it's small.
So I'm going to cut you off because right after I said that, I decided to search Chris Brown on Twitter. Fourth tweet down. Chris Brown can't catch a fucking break.
Oh, my
Damn.
God.
Mm.
Yeah, okay.
Well, thanks, Bujo.
Yeah, RIP your mentions, man.
Yeah, especially that it's in the main page. Sorry to derail that.
Yeah, but of course that was going to happen because there will always be men who will be like, well, actually, we're the victims here, man. Because before this was all chill and now it's like a problem.
Right.
So, yeah, come on. Time to fucking grow up.
Oh my gosh.
We do want to talk about the hostage release that happened overnight. Three people who are being held hostage in North Korea were released. And, you know, this is good news, obviously. But it's also just a hilarious example of how Trump is going to deal with any piece of remotely good news in his presidency.
Yeah.
Because he tweeted a video this morning that is a straight up Michael Bay trailer with like Hans Zimmer soundtrack going in the background. And I don't know. It's just interesting to think about this in contrast to how Obama announced that, you know, we had killed bin Laden. Like he specifically said the phrase, you know, we don't need to spike the football. And Trump's reaction to this hostage release is a slow motion end zone dance with like
not only did
a fighter jet fly over.
He spiked the football, ran over to the cheerleaders, used their pom poms to do a dance, then pulled out a cell phone from behind the goalpost, took a selfie, started Millie rocking with the mascot, and then made a video out of it and then retweeted it. Like
he's all in the end zone.
Yeah,
he did
exactly.
all that shit in
all the of it. The most extra version of spiking the football is what this video looks like. And, you know, it sets up these meetings with Kim Jong-un that are going to happen now on June 12th in Singapore. And we'll see how that goes. I mean, you know, Trump was very optimistic when they asked him, like, oh, well, this is great that they left out the hostages. And he was like, well, it looks like he's trying to do something. It looks like he really wants to do something. But again, we always have to be careful with our expectations. But I think...
And he has said that, too. He's been like, I don't necessarily know what's going to happen, but...
Right, but a lot of experts are saying, like, look... The way that North Korea sees it, too, is they also will probably have a schedule in which they are going to agree to this. It's not like they're going to pull up to Singapore June 12th and then they're going to come out holding hands being like, all right, completely denuclearized.
Right.
But who knows? That could be a possibility, too. Very unlikely, though.
But the very fact that he's having a meeting with North Korea that was completely offered to him and set up by other people, I think he deserves the Nobel Peace Prize.
For sure. It should be called the Trump Prize, though.
Right.
Let's just do
that. Yeah, we should rename it. But that is interesting because moving on to the Iran nuclear deal, if he goes into the North Korea meeting and he gets them to somehow... stop their nuclear program, disarm, agree to open inspections for the first time, like then, like Fox News would probably shut down for a day just because they wouldn't be able to fucking handle themselves. But like then you might even say, okay, maybe like he gets in the discussion for an actual Nobel. But that is exactly what we had with the Iran nuclear deal that he just pulled us out of.
Yeah, like, unilaterally. Just like, he blew up the deal.
He was just like... Yeah, all that stuff that would be the best case scenario for this North Korea thing, we're going to say fuck it just because it was accomplished by his predecessor. Who?
Obak Barama.
Right. So a version of the story that has filtered down to me, or at least that I have misunderstood, is that after the nuclear deal was torn up, Iran reacted by, you know, tearing up the deal and then burning a paper American flag and then launching missiles at Israel. And that's kind of the way that it had been filtered down to me. I don't know if I had that wrong. I was listening to, I think it's Today Explained podcast, and they were making the case for why the deal falling apart is a disaster. And they were saying that, you know, and then Iran fired these missiles after the deal fell apart. And they did say, and it wouldn't, we're not saying it happened specifically because the deal fell apart, but they didn't say, like, why it did happen. So I literally remember saying out loud, wait, why wouldn't you say that? You haven't given a reason for it. And the thing that has been completely left out of this whole story is that Iran has been attacked multiple times in the past couple weeks. And also, like, immediately after America pulled out of the nuclear deal, by Israel. Like, Israel has attacked Iranian bases in Syria. And so they were holding back on striking back at Israel because, you know, they were waiting to see which way things went on the nuclear deal. So it is connected in that way, but they are responding. It's not like... the version of the story where they just respond by firing missiles at Israel makes it seem like, and, you know, they fired at Israel because they're anti-Semites, and that's just how Iran works. And it's like, no, they were specifically provoked by these attacks that killed, like, many Iranian people. And, yeah, so I don't know. That seems like a piece of context that was left out.
Well, I think, but it's also in the context of this conflict, right, is that as Iran is fortifying positions in Syria, that is what is making Israel more and more nervous because they know they're diametrically opposed. This is what's happening as this whole conflict escalates. The Israelis don't want Iran anywhere near their borders. Iran is trying to fortify their position in Syria. So this is just building and building and building now. And yeah, like these strikes have been like there's been this basically shadow war essentially that hasn't really been at the forefront of the reporting in this country. Now it's just becoming more and more unhinged because, like, we're just kind of saying, yeah, I guess we're going to back you up or there aren't really repercussions. It's just causing this whole atmosphere of uncertainty that is slowly just escalating and escalating.
Reallyyikes.com.
And actually, just to kind of provide further context, super producer Anna Hosnier is here. So can you explain, Anna, like why Iran is in Syria or like how the sides break down there?
Iran backs Bashar al-Assad, the leader of Syria. So they are in Syria because a lot of the people on the ground in Syria are supplied by Iran. So they're Iran's Revolutionary Guard. So that's who a lot of the like soldiers are on the ground in Syria. So they have a lot of military bases in Syria. So I guess what happened was, like you were saying, Israel had an airstrike to take out some bases in Syria that belonged to the Iranian government. That escalated to Iran retaliating. And then Israel currently says, that's it. We don't want any more escalation. We just want to make a point. Because basically what Benjamin Netanyahu and the whole Israeli government wants is for Iran to get out of Syria. They want them to like back up, get away from our border, go away.
Because Syria is on the border, shares a border with Israel, right?
Yes, and that makes them nervous. And they just don't, they really just don't want Iran in Syria.
Right. Iran v. Israel is sort of like the main conflict of the Middle East. Yeah.
So Israel says, we won't go any further. It's over. We just want to make a point. Iran says, if you continue to act up, we will come for you. We don't care. And I think right now, Iran has more, they have more of a chance of coming at Israel, I think. It's kind of, the ball's literally in their court, if you will.
Right.
I don't know what Iran will do. I do not believe Iran will leave Syria. I think they've made it quite clear they're there to stay.
Right.
For the time being. So if it does escalate, it would be pretty, it's not going to be good.
Has Israel been involved in the Syrian conflict like up till now?
Yeah, Israel has done airstrikes.
Like from the start?
Yeah, yeah. Like over, like they say like over 100 times.
Yeah. Okay. Ooh. They've been involved
since it broke out.
For, yeah.
And specifically because of the expanding military presence of Iran. Like that's just their whole reason for doing that.
It makes them nervous. They don't like it.
And so, this is very, it's new that they're like directly doing cross-border sort of attacks. And that's just something to keep an eye on because, most people are just like, this is a very dangerous escalation.
Yes, and I think it's important to know that this is the first time Iran has actually shot into Israel's Golan Heights.
Right.
It's never escalated this far yet.
Right.
So Israel will continue to attack within Syria, but they'll never actually go for the actual country of Iran because I think
that's a death wish. Yeah, that's full scale war.
Yeah.
Right.
So if Iran does retaliate in any way, because Iranian people were killed in the multiple attacks that Israel conducted on the bases in Syria, Israel has said they will retaliate again. Like, so basically it's just like, oh, you take one, I'll take one. You take one, I'll take one. Right. So hopefully Iran does not retaliate and just kind of uses their presence in Syria as kind of like a bullying technique, because ideally that's better than them shooting missiles back into Israel.
Right.
So that's currently where they're at right now.
Yeah, because
we've seen this story play out on Looney Tunes where they get the bigger guns and the bigger guns. You know what happens at the end of that bit?
They all blow up.
Yeah. The world blows up.
Right. One mallet turns into a bigger mallet, turns into a gun, turns into a missile. Yeah.
Well, also the war if it leads to a war, everyone's afraid Hezbollah, who also backs Bashar al-Assad, will get involved. And nobody wants that, because then it'll just, all these different regions will start going at each other.
And where's Hezbollah from?
They're in Lebanon, but they're like a proxy for Iran.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
they work with Iran.
And they have a lot of, they have weapons in Lebanon that are very close to the Israeli borders. Like, that's another thing to factor into it. It can go from this one localized thing to a full-blown, like, regional.
Right. And a lot of those weapons are supplied by Iran. Okay. So they're deeply connected.
Let's go into the dark world real quick.
Yeah.
And, well, no, I think... So if, like, let's say, worst-case scenario, this breaks out into just... What do you think would be the next step if, like, you know, now Lebanon's stepping up to the plate? Is anyone coming to support Israel, or is it expected that America...
Israel's side is the U.S., Saudi Arabia, United Arab Emirates. Okay. And then Iran is backed by, obviously, they'll have Syria on their side, Russia, which is not someone you want to fuck with. And Turkey is edging the line. So we don't know where, depending on where Turkey goes.
Turkey has traditionally been with the U.S., but now they have a straight up dictator in charge. And that seems to be the hallmark of the whole Putin al-Assad.
I've recently learned about the Saudi Arabia-Iran beef only because of, in the wrestling world, there was a event called the, did you guys talk about this on EA?
We haven't talked about it, but I followed it because the world is basically Idiocracy.
Yeah, so in the wrestling world, they had the greatest Royal Rumble that took place in Saudi Arabia, and two Iranian brothers, American-Iranian brothers, went and did a match where basically they got worked by a group of Saudi wrestlers. Like, they came out dressed in the traditional garb with the flag, came and they talked their mess, and then they basically just got beat. It was like you're able to watch the segment on YouTube. Like, they kind of get just dunked on.
Right.
And let's just say Iran was not happy about that, especially right now.
Right.
Like, in a way, like, reading it, I was... You know, I did feel bad for him because he was like, I was just doing my job. But I was like, it did, when you watch it, it does almost come off a little bit propaganda-y because it's like,
well,
he's
course,
big,
yeah.
bad. And it's because of the nature of wrestling, is everything super heightened. But like, the big, bad Iranians come and mess with the Saudis, and the Saudis just
kick
do
their
short.
Ass.
Yeah, and I'm sure that's part of what they were like, you know, we'll make it a big show. We'll even help prop up, you know, we'll whip up the nationalism by having this little match go down.
Shit, I mean, man.
It's all theater. But I mean, it's all... It's something to keep our eye on.
What if that wrestling match is the, like, Princip shooting Franz Ferdinand?
Oh, that's Gavrilo Princip?
Yeah.
Boy. I hope not.
We will be judged harshly by history books. They'll be like, and then this wrestling event happened, and here's pictures of it. All right. Let's move on from there. We're all screwed, right? Is that what, to summarize, we're all fucked?
The Middle East is definitely not in a good place.
Right.
That's for sure.
Okay. And that's what we'll say for now. But yeah, I guess the last thing to think is, like, the Israeli defense minister, his quote was, if it rains in Israel, it will pour in Iran.
Mm.
So
fuck.
Their whole attitude is like, you know, like the Krav Maga dude. It's a very aggressive situation. No, and I don't, we'll see how it can be de-escalated, what kind of diplomacy can be factored
Isn't
in.
But I feel like that nuclear deal was really keeping everyone in check.
Mm-hmm.
Because Iran wouldn't mess around because they don't want to pull attention to themselves. They're like, hey, we're following the rules. Don't hit us with sanctions. And then Israel wouldn't have messed with Iran in that sense, because I believe because they're with America, they knew not to, like, actively go after Iran to, like, kind of create more issues. And I feel like the second that deal dropped, Israel was like, fair game.
Yeah, exactly.
You want to fuck with us?
On.
We'll fuck with you. And it's like, oh, boy.
And it was even happening a couple weeks before America dropped out of the deal, but presumably, you know, Trump was like, yeah, we're out of this fucking thing. Put on that TED Talk, Netanyahu. All right. we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. And we're back. And we wanted to briefly revisit the documents showing that Michael Cohen had been transferred all sorts of money from AT&T, a Korean aerospace firm, and a Russian oligarch. And we, you know, like I think a lot of the media, got all excited about this. And now, with a little bit of time and, you know, space from the revelation. It seems like this might be another sort of nothing burger in the sense that nothing illegal necessarily is happening here.
Well, we don't. I mean, that's wait. Hold on. It's very possible that something illegal is happening.
It's definitely a form of corruption that they are paying him for access to the president. That seems like something that shouldn't happen, but it is. But people are like, yeah, but that happens all the time. And the biggest problem would be that he didn't file as a lobbyist. But again, that's a
right. But if he also promised some kind of legislative effect of that money, that's a completely different thing. That's actual pay to play. That's not just hi, I need access to talk to this person. It's like, hi, if I give you this money, will the government do this for me?
Yeah. I mean, if you ever wanted to know why black people are mad all the time, especially black people who grew up in the hood and poor, it's shit like this. Because I've known people who were arrested and jailed for way less, for the suspicion of way less, where it's like, oh, you had a plastic baggie that could fit a nug of weed. Yeah. We're just going to lock you up till we figure it all out.
I see one stem and an empty pack of backwoods.
It really is like interesting to see the difference between like how sure you have to be at this level of crime versus like how, you know, just on the suspicion of something, whereas like in the hood, if you're there, you're just as much a criminal as if you did it or not. You know, like if you're just being there is enough. Yeah, just being there is enough for you to be arrested.
And we've gotten a lot of videos that are evidence to that effect.
We've gotten basic confessions from the mouths of the people who we think, and it's still like, I'm not sure. So
meanwhile, people are getting the police called on them because they're taking a nap in their dorm because they're black.
Right.
Okay, Yale.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Or like, going but on a college tour.
Or go to Airbnb. Or the person at Waffle House, like I think last week this week, who took his sister there and was getting choked by the police. Like,
But here's the thing. That's very true. Even the black guys at Starbucks, they got arrested. They were taken downtown. And you're telling me all these lines up, we're not even going to bring any. We're still going to be like, let's get a little bit more before we start bringing
people. Just the way these kinds of crimes work. You know what I mean? And that's why the legal system is different at this level than it is like for regular people.
Yeah, ask my man Wesley Snipes, man.
Yeah.
Ask my man Wesley Snipes. I think he'd beg to differ.
But I think we speculated too. Like, I don't know if it was on mic, but before when we were reading this story yesterday, how it was like, maybe it's pay to play. Or maybe Michael Cohen is just a fucking scammer and was like, bro, if you give me fucking $400,000, I'll introduce you to somebody and be like, just take your fucking money.
And the people, one of the firms that gave him money said that they had to keep paying him because they had a contract with him even after they realized that he wasn't going to do shit for them.
They say
and
it
just gives you the impression that this is like a actual con artist. Michael Cohen is an actual con artist who, you know, these Fortune 500 companies like come into contact with and they don't know what the fuck they're doing. And they're just like, my word, he lied to us.
Right.
But we still have to pay him. Right. There's a story in Rolling Stone from the beginning of this month about how Cohen, in his background, when he was a attorney, was connected to these scams where people would rent a U-Haul, crash into their friend who was in a enterprise car, and then they would use the insurance from that, and Michael Cohen representing one of these people, would use the insurance for that to, you know, collect money. But it would all be completely arranged. It's just like low level, like smashing in a parking meter level bullshit.
Dude, I love that.
I know.
It's just so that these scams are just such Joanne the Scammer, kind of just weirdo, like broke boy scams.
Yeah.
And
you take a guy doing that and put him next to the president. And a thing that people are saying and as this comes to light is that none of these Fortune 500 companies thought Trump was going to win like the rest of the world. So when he wins, they haven't prepared. They have no inroads to the president, which it's fucked up that like Fortune 500 companies automatically assume they need inroads to the president or like have always had inroads to the president.
That's how it works.
But so they start scrambling to get access. One person with ties to the Trump campaign said that he was approached by a top-tier tech company after the election with an offer. They would pay him $50,000 a month to make introductions to members of Trump's team. So no lobbying, just we'll pay you $50,000 a month as long as you introduce us to a couple people who work for Trump. That's just how Fortune 500 companies go. That's how corrupt Washington is, just on a like baseline level.
Yeah.
So now you take that into account and it's like, okay, so Cohen steps into this really corrupt town and is the, you know, most basic low-level scammer. And he's just going to be like, yo, like, yeah, AT&T, pay me $2 million. You'll get to sleep in the White House.
Yeah, whatever, you know? It is. I mean, that's what we'll see. What happened if, like, those monies were dispersed also? Right. You know, like, if he said, okay, look, Donald, I'm gonna get, like, 1.2 from Novartis.
Right.
Like, we'll split this shit
60-40. Right. Now, if he was passing that along, and it is weird that the payment to Stormy Daniels came out of this same shell company, that is what's shady. But it's not, like, a smoking gun. The Russia thing, there is a Russian connection, but, like, his wife has been connected to shady Russian and Ukrainian shit for decades, so it's not necessarily, like, the Russians started approaching him once he had access to the Trump campaign. It's like he had shady contacts with Russian organized crime going way, way back.
But I think the thing is there's evidence now of money being exchanged. And before it's just sort of like you can connect these people all together.
Right.
But you're like, oh, you gave him $500,000.
Right.
For real estate advice?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. No, this guy's a genius.
He's the guy. He's the guy you want.
So there very well could be something here. It's just not necessarily as shady as I might have assumed at first.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing, too. And I don't know if, well, I mean...
Or it is exactly as shady. It just might not be as easy to tie to Trump
right.
as I thought at first.
But this is the problem with all this shit is that it's really distracting people from any kind of meaningful messaging going into the midterms, which is like, because Stormy Daniels, is like this whole Avenatti Stormy Daniels thing is like as a mainstay for especially liberal media, because they love it, just feeds the Trump show narrative. And like really, I'm curious when the messaging is really going to start coming out of like trying to shore up Democratic support going into the midterms. Because everybody is so focused on this shit and like this culture war shit.
We need that.
Yeah.
All right. I wanted to move on real quick to a tool that I didn't know about, compete.com. Or
I think I'd say a computer.
Computer?
Oh, no.
So there's this website, similarweb.com, where you can look at the top websites in the world, like the most visited websites and the average visit duration. It's just a cool little tool that I hadn't seen before. And so I was just going through, checking out the top sites, and interestingly there are three porn sites that are bigger than Netflix.
No way.
Yeah.
Right, because they're free.
Yeah, that probably helps. Also, the time on site is interesting because when you look at 10 minutes is sort of a good dividing line, because like, so Google average time on site, Google's the biggest site in the world. Average time on site is 8 minutes and 51 seconds. YouTube, it's 21 minutes, which is crazy, but that makes sense because it's just free television, so people can watch it. But other than YouTube, the only sites that really get above 10 minutes are basically porn, which is like at 12 minutes, and Facebook, which is also at 12 minutes, which I think is interesting because Facebook is like, this is something that I was reading this article about how Facebook was contributing to this sort of social unrest. And it was basically like laying the groundwork for a genocide in this country, where it was like a big way that people communicated with one another. And it was spreading all these like wild videos that were suggesting that one ethnic group was trying to chemically castrate the other ethnic group. And it was just...
Oh, and this is in Sri Lanka, right?
Yeah, Sri Lanka.
Yeah.
And it's a feud between the Buddhist majority and the Muslim minorities. And the Buddhists think that the Muslims are like trying to like literally...
Sterilize them.
Yeah, sterilizing agents in their food. And this is being spread by these Facebook videos. And so as I was reading this, I was like, yeah, but... Just in any objective reality, as the internet rises up, there's going to be a site where you can like post videos. So like, why is Facebook so bad? And the article actually specifically explains why. It's that Facebook is specifically engineered to make you spend as much time on Facebook as possible. So every single thing that they're showing to you has been specifically engineered not to bring you correct information, not to, you know, do anything but make you watch it and stay there and share it and like go on to the next video. And I think you see that in this similar web thing, that the only sites, it's basically like pornography for
your ego.
Ego, yeah, essentially. It's ego pornography and sort of like brain quick fix pornography. So I don't know.
So what you're saying is you're addicted to Facebook.
I am personally not, but I do think that, you know, for Facebook to be safe, and Facebook is the second biggest website in the world right now next to Google, it just needs to change its like central tenet, which is to, you know, everything is engineered to keep you on Facebook for as long as possible.
Right. Yeah, and that's dangerous when you think about the kind of the algorithms feeding you that kind of shit, because they know, oh, this shit keeps people on because it's this fiery rhetoric.
Right.
Whether that's
confirming what you already think.
It's in Myanmar or Sri Lanka or wherever. It's, you know, it also has a hand in perpetuating this really shitty stuff.
Yeah, posts that tap into, this is a quote from the New York Times article, posts that tap into negative primal emotions like anger or fear, studies have found, produce the highest engagement. And so those proliferate.
Yeah, which is why a lot of those videos where, was it ITV or Channel 4 in the UK went undercover to talk to Cambridge Analytica, even those guys are saying like fear and anger are like really going to motivate people. And like these are the ads that you want.
So, oh yeah, I feel like that's the basic, you know, human reaction. Like if you follow a lot of like celebs or people of note on Twitter, like what's the thing they respond to the most? It's always like the hate comments and all that stuff. Like I used to be real annoyed, like at when I'd like be like, "Oh, you were dope at this thing," or like I'll compliment them, and like they, you know, they don't even start, they don't care, and you'll see them spend all day fighting with people who hate them, and it's like, wow, you really would spend more time like interacting with people who hate you than who are just like driving you insane than people who are saying like, "Oh man, that's dope," and you know,
yeah,
I never there are porn websites on this. I didn't even know were popular.
I know. That's
very
another
crazy
thing that
I've never heard of XNXX.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, the XNXX is great because it's one of the last few. I mean, they just recently got into that territory, but they were one of the last few who didn't care about the sites that it came from. So you were able to get like a lot of the low key vids.
Interesting.
That were behind paywalls. But they
XNXX
recently,
is the 11th biggest website in the world. I didn't know it existed.
Oh, in the world. Oh, okay, damn.
Yeah, in the world. And it also has the highest average visit duration of any site other than YouTube. It's 14 minutes long.
Yeah, they beat Pornhub too.
Yeah, Pornhub is third biggest porn site. X-Hamster, which I had also heard of, is like the...
You've heard tell of this X-Hamster.
I've heard tell of this X-Hamster, but it is the fourth biggest. And yeah, the two X-Videos and XNXX are the two biggest porn sites in the world, and I hadn't heard of either of them.
Which makes sense, because lots of times I'll see on Pornhub videos go like, this is an X-Videos. And I was like, stolen.
Right. Oh, yeah, we can see the watermark burned in.
You're like, okay, well.
It's the Wild West out there in the world of the internet.
Iffy, it's been a pleasure as always having you, my man. Yeah. Where can people find you?
Well, you know, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at IffyWaddyWay, and you can definitely catch me Tuesdays on Nerdificent, Monday on Candy Dinner. Just doing too much in here. Here when I come here.
Miles, where can people find you?
Oh, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray.
You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. We link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song that we ride out on, which, Miles, what's that going
to
be?
Last time we did a Sev DeLiza track, people were really vibing to it. If you didn't start just diving into her catalog of music, well, I'm hitting you with another one. This is a track called Human which was, I think she dropped last year. Amazing other track from Seb DeLiza. Also, if y'all are into dance, as a kid, I love dancing, and I just love dance in general as an art form. There is a great video on YouTube. My homegirl, Galen Hooks, who's a choreographer. She did a dance to this, Human by Seb DeLiza. Also, peep that if you want to see some really dope dancing to this song. But yeah, Seb DeLiza, Human, because that's all we are. I'm just trying to feel more human.
Check that shit out. We are going to ride out on that. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast. We'll talk to you guys then. Bye.
I am I am skin, soul.